Sir, God bless you. Let's pray. Father, we again gather in thy name, Lord God, because you admonished us, Father, to do that, especially when we see the times that we are living in, Lord God. And Father, we are gathered in thy name, and you promised, Father, to be in our midst. That's why we come, Lord, to meet with you. We pray, Father, that now you take over and speaks to the hearts of the people, because you come, Father, for that party, Lord God, that you called us for, Father. And the Lord God, you're going to serve the table, Father, tonight. We commit ourselves, Father, to thee. We commit ourselves to you, Lord. My brother Don, Lord God, as he takes his mother down to Florida, Lord God, we pray that you give him mercies, Father, gentle mercies, Father, protect him. Watch over him, Lord God, now as he drives down the road, Lord. Be with them is our prayer. We have my sister here, Lord, that serves as Father here very well. You know, she's down, Lord God. It's a big thing that she can't be able to come here for now. Lord, we know that her desire is to be here. Yeah. And we know, Lord God, that's a devil, Lord God, that has bogged him down that much, Lord. Father, that's our enemy, Lord. And now thy children come against that demon, Lord God. And we claim our sister, Father, back her health, Lord God, is our prayer. We commit her now, Father, to you, Lord. I know she's going to listen in, Lord. And let there be faith, Father, that goes forth to her, Lord. That faith, Lord God, that can take that demon down, Lord. Father, we commit her to you. We commit all things to you now as we pray that, Lord God, you come and speak to us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. 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 You can get seated. You can get seated. And I don't think I did the right thing. I think I said... I had an idea that I don't said the quotes or something, because I thought that we're just going to read the scriptures, but it's good to say them. I think it's good to say them. I forgot that. Let me do that. Just a minute here. Just 1 minute here. So that we can... brother, all right. And here they come, brother Michael. I'm sure I should have done this, but I'm just reading some scriptures here. So I thought I'm not gonna need to say the quotes, but I'm gonna say them right away, right now. So that's right. So I said them now. They're coming. They're coming your way, brother. So I'm sorry for that. I didn't intend to. What I'm talking about is, as I was talking about on Sunday, when I talked a bit about who is this angel of Revelation 10? Who is this angel of Revelation 10? That's my way of bringing it. I want to see who is this angel of the Revelation 10. My idea came because some people say it's not Jesus Christ. It's not the real Jesus Christ. And this is the idea that if we talk about the coming, then we know that immediately after Jesus went up, there was a coming there. He promised that the Holy Ghost would come. And the people are asking, who is the Holy Ghost? And they're saying, is Jesus Christ. So this is what we are talking about in Revelation 10. They're saying, it's just like that coming that he came after he went up as the Holy Ghost. It's an appearing, it's Jesus Christ visiting his people like he did in the Holy Ghost. And every time he's been coming, he's becoming, or he's been like that. And that's true. But I'm talking about this coming here. I'm talking about a coming that there are three three kinds of comings that are different from any other coming. It's not the Holy Ghost, it's not another thing, it's a coming. And there are three comings only. There are three comings only. Maybe who are those people who are listening to me, who are listening in? That's what I'm saying. I'm saying there are only three comings. The first coming is when he came to die. Many times he had come when he visited Abraham. That was still Jesus. Remember, there's no God and Jesus. When he visited Abraham as Melchizedek, that was Jesus. That was God. Actually, we don't hear, the problem is we don't hear of Melchizedek again because he became Jesus Christ. See, so that was God. We don't have a God and Jesus Christ. It's the same thing. So the one who visited Abraham was still Jesus Christ. Was still a coming. He visited there. Although there is appearing and coming, but he came and he visited him. And many times he appeared and he was seen here, like Abraham saw him very many times, and like that. Amen. And we have all that. We have all that. But we are talking about the coming. When we talk about the coming, in Revelation 10, is a coming. And we have only three of that kind, of a coming. Not that kind of coming when he came as the Holy Ghost. This is a special coming. The first time he came, listen, the first time he came was when he came to die. Yeah. That was God, that became flesh. He created a body, he entered therein, and that word, that great God that who was the Holy Ghost and the Word, came and entered in Jesus Christ. And he was here on earth, and he was seen here on earth. That was the first coming. All those other comings are not counted. Because this is the coming. This is the coming of the Lord. It's called the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. People confuse that. There's, when he said that I've gone, and it's expedient that I go, because if I don't go, I'll not come back, and I'll come back and indwell in your heart. That was true. That was correct. That was kind of a coming. But remember, that was not a coming like the comings that we are talking about. I think the people has got to put distinction between those comings and like the coming of the Holy Ghost. Now listen, this coming is special. This is what all the Testament people are waiting for when he came and died on the cross. Can you get that? That's that. Now, from when he died, he said he would come again. And the people asked him, when do you come? When do you come again? They were not talking about the Holy Ghost. Immediately I go, I'll send the Holy Ghost. That is not what they were talking about. They were talking about that he is coming again. Amen. That was the second coming. They are special comings. Those three are special comings. He said, I'll go and come back. That's not a coming. He came and dwelt the people. That's the Holy Ghost. But now he said, I'm going to come again. And they asked him, when do you come? Because that was the question the disciples were asking him. When do you come? When do you come? That was the question. He says there are three questions. The first question is, when is Jerusalem going to be? Because they took him in Matthew 24. They took him around to show him the temple and how the temple was built in a great way, in a very miraculous way. They were saying there's no stone that was carved there. They didn't come with a stone to carve it there, no. They got the stones there, and God had created that stone to come fit exactly a certain place. And he says, that is how the bride is going to be made. Praise be to God. We fit very well. Everybody will fit very well in the body of Christ. Somehow you have your space there that fits you exactly the way you are. The way you are created, the way your mind, the characters that you have, because some of them are very, very talkative. Some of them are whatever you are, God created you like that. And God called your mother, called your father, your grandmother, your father, and joined this, and joined that, and joined that to bring a certain somebody that you fit in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ very well. That when you get in here, you fit here very well. You are a block that was created to build this body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God. So like that. But now, they were showing him around, and they said, and he told them, there's a time that is coming that there will be no stone that will be laying upon another in this building. And they said that. Okay. When they finished, they caught him around. He said, around somewhere, and they said, I think they went to the mountain. The prophet said, he even tells you the time that when they were asking him that question. He says, that was on Tuesday. He says, now he asks him, when will there be no stone upon another in that temple? That was about the temple of Jerusalem. That we were telling you how it was built supernaturally. How this stone was brought, how this whatever. Now, when will that be, when there will be no stone that will be laying upon another? In other words, when will the church, the temple of Jerusalem, will be demolished? That was the first question. When will it be? When will it be? And then he asked, and what will be the sign of your coming? The prophet says, it was not a sign that they asked for. He says, it was, and I'm going to read the quotes, maybe not today or another day. It was a question. When are you coming? When are you coming? Amen. And they said, when do we know that the world is finished? When will be the end of the world? When will it be? Those were the three questions. And the prophet says, Matthew 24, Jesus Christ is answering those three questions. I hope you get that. Praise God. He's answering those three questions. Matthew 24 is an answer to those three questions. Okay, now. So the thing that we have now here is, Jesus Christ, when do you come back? We know you have come the first time. We know you are the Messiah. But it's promised that you come again the second time. Praise be to God. When is your second time coming? When is it? That was the question. The prophet is saying, and I'm going to read some quotes. Maybe they're intricate because, you know, he talks this way, he's talking this way. But you're going to see them in the course of this service, in the course of, this is part one. This is part one. Part two, we will look at it. When are you coming? When are you coming? Because there are only three comings. There are only three comings. The first coming, come to die. When he came to pay for the price. We were talking with somebody this morning, I was telling them, listen, your sins were paid for. Even if you tried, you can sin more. You can try to sin more. There's no sin that you can sin that was not paid for. It's paid for. Praise God. There's no, it's paid for. It's done. It's done. It's finished. You don't have anything that you can do that's not paid for.
That's right.
It was finished. Praise God. The promise is, the only problem is, people don't stretch their heart to take that pardon. Yes. And he gives that story about that man who was pardoned by Abraham Lincoln when he refused to go to war. And he says, the problem was not that he was not pardoned. Brother Joe, there was a boy that he refused to go to war. And when they refused to go to war, they're supposed to be killed. So he was supposed to be killed. Anyway, he went to jail. And when he went to jail, now their family knew Abraham Lincoln. So they went to Abraham Lincoln and told Abraham Lincoln, pardon him. He's just a boy and he feared. And Abraham Lincoln took a pen and a paper and just signed a paper like that. Pardoned. Abraham Lincoln, the president of the United States of America. And he gave them that paper to go take it to jail and he's not going to be killed. But when the boy was given, he just pocketed it and said, nah, that's nothing. You're just bluffing me. You're just bluffing. This cannot be. And he put it in the pocket. So they killed him. So they went to court. They wanted to know, why was he killed when he was pardoned? And the three judges, or how many judges, I don't know, when they sat down, they said, even if you're pardoned, and you've not accepted your pardon, then that's not a pardon. Jesus Christ died for your sins. But if you don't accept it, then it's not pardon. It's not forgiveness. You still have your sins because you have not accepted. So it's not that he didn't die for your sins, but it's because the people don't take the pardon. That's exactly right. So the first time he came, it was for the payment of the price. He paid the price. He paid for the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the second coming is to take that which he bought. He paid the price. What did he pay the price for? To take that. What is it? The bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one group that he's going to take. When he comes, the only group that he's going to take, he's going to take one bride, one people. That is the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. The other group that he's going to take, that was also died for, was 144,000. That's exactly right. He takes that.
He comes the second time to take that. That's the promise. So when you see him come and take the bride, and the prophet says he takes the bride, know that is the second coming. It's not coming like the Holy Ghost, no. Whatever he does when he comes, but he must take, when he comes the second time, the first time was to die, that's the prophet. Because now, again, if you want to know whether, what kind of a coming is, let us look at what he was said he would come and do when he comes. The first time, that first coming was to come and die. Did he do that? He did exactly like that. Now, the second coming was to, listen, the second coming was to come and take a bride. And then the 144,000 will come to him. And they will cry for him who they killed as the atonement. They're going to accept that atonement. Can you get that? That's a sign that that is the second coming. Praise with God. Now the third coming is Jesus Christ coming with the bride, coming with the bride. When the bride is taken, listen, when the bride is taken, in the second coming, the bride does not go nowhere else. They stay together. They don't part. Wherever Jesus Christ is, she goes there. Praise be to God. She doesn't. That's perfection. There's no better place that she can. You say no. We are gonna go the next step. We're gonna go to the millennium, because after the rapture, according to the sequence of events, after the rapture is the millennium. Millennium is where you take, when you marry a wife, you take him to honeymoon. Is that right? Millennium is like a honeymoon. So they go to honeymoon. Now, they say they're going to come back from the honeymoon. Now listen. The bride does not have anywhere else to go better than the rapture. The rapture is that she is taken to Christ. When she is taken to Christ, that's the best of the best. Where else does she go? She's in Christ. What is the better place? She's God. She's become man. She's become God. That's the best. But in Christ, the promise is, in Christ, there's millennium. In Christ, there's eternity. In Christ, there's everything. So when she gets there, she's in her millennium. She's in her rest. She's a queen. She's a queen and the king. She's like that. She's done. She's good. Praise be to God. But remember, this is something that people don't believe. Remember, there's nothing like the people say the change of the body. And I don't deny that. And I don't know why I'm talking like that, because I have my quotes here. I have my reading here. You know, people are waiting for the change of the body. And that's good. That's good, the change of the body. But I tell you what, the change of the body that people look for is not the kind of the body, change of the body that God talked about. People think that this body is going to change into atoms. You know, the atoms and the molecules will change. That's not it. Because this body is headed to the grave. Every one of us, you must die. The Bible said in Hebrews 9:27 or 29, somewhere, he said that every man is appointed to death. And after death, judgment. That's what it says. So every man that is born of a woman is headed to death. So there's nothing like change of the body. For what? To what? That's the question I ask people. To what? You change the body. To what? This is the kind of change of the body. And I'm just talking and I'm not reading the quotes. But what I'm saying, I have quotes for. When I say that every man must die, there are about 10 quotes. That's exactly the first thing. You must die. A man that is born of a woman is of a few days. That's why you go to die. This body has got to go back to the dust. You came wrong, so you got to go back, and you're designed again. Or I don't know where designed again. I've never heard the prophet use that word, but that's okay. Then you have three bodies. You have three bodies that you've got to go to. You have three bodies. The first body that you get to after you die, because you must die. After you die, you go to a body called theophany, that is in the sixth dimension, where good people go when they die. That's right. Now, from there, in the general resurrection, you come down here and you pick up your glorified body. When you pick up your glorified body, there's nowhere else you're going. You get into eternity, and that's all. And there was a brother who was, that brother is, and if he's listening in, brother, I want to meet you, I want to talk to you. And he asked me some few questions this morning, and I tried to answer. And I met somebody else, and he told me that he was also talking to him, and he's worried about the war in Israel. And he's saying that it seems like, now, and I know that can happen now. That can trigger that, and we will be, I don't know how many miles or maybe meters down this earth after this. Death is death. By the bombs or by whatever it is death. But you cannot die. Remember, you cannot die because you're not this. That's the people. That's the mentality of the people. That they, because it's going to be changed and fly away because they fear death. No, death is here. Death is going to come. But what is death? What is death to a Christian? Christians don't die.
Amen.
if that happens, then we are several meters underneath here. That's okay. That's all right. After all, I was to die and you got to bury me now. You are saved that work of burying me. No problem. It's done. It's finished. It's finished. And in a twinkling of an eye, in a minute like that, I'm in my theophany. I just step up and I'm in my theophany.
Amen.
And the prophet said, when you get there, he said, you say Sabrim, you say good, you're not saying nothing. Where those people go there, you're not saying it. There's no word to describe that place because it's so, so, so good. No words to describe it. And in a minute, you are there. So don't worry about these bombs and everything. Don't worry. Just worry one thing. Are you in Christ?
Amen.
Now, is your soul given completely and surrendered to Christ? Anything can happen. Even if you don't die by the bombs, you can die by everybody. Every time you are dying, don't fear death. Don't fear death. Fear judgment after death.
Amen.
Praise be to God. So after millennium, you come here. I mean, after theophany, you come here and pick up your glorified body. And that will be in the general resurrection. And everybody else, listen, everybody else is taken to the lake of fire if you are not from your theophany, from the sixth dimension. From the sixth dimension, you are son of God, you are daughter of God. The fifth dimension, all that is taken. It's called hell. Hell is taken and hell is put to the lake of fire. That's finished. And you are put into eternity. That's the sequence of events. Now, I was saying like this. But when Christ comes the second time, the last time, now he comes with the bride. He comes with the bride in the eternity or in the whatever, from the millennium. Now, that's exactly right. But I'm saying when you get into Christ as the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't go nowhere else. Where else do you want to go? Where else do you want to go? You're in Christ. Brothers, you're in Christ. People, you know, the problem is here. You're just imagining. No, it's a reality. You are in Christ. It's a reality. You're in the rapture. You're not here even. You're not here on this earth. You're not here on this earth. No, sir. You are in heavenly places. You're not here. You don't belong to the earth. You're not of the earth. You're not of the world. Nothing of the world. You are special. You are somewhere. You belong somewhere. I was teaching the other day, and the people were wondering because somebody said that maybe they've never had that, and therefore it could not. I said, and that brother sent the other brother a note and said, no. Is the prophet who has said those things? I was talking about the cherubims in the seat of God, where God sits. What we don't realize is that that's where we are. That's a very, you know, when you say that, when you say those things, you sound like you are you're not in reality. It's real. It's real. It's only that we are so bogged down by these bodies.
Yeah.
Brother, you are there. You're not, you are in Christ. And where Christ is, that's where you are. You and Christ have become one. That's why we say we are raptured. That's why we say we are married. We are taken in by Christ. Where is Christ? Christ is inside the cherubims. You know, this cherubim. We ain't there. And they say, holy, holy, holy. They are telling us, holy, holy, holy. And nobody else can go there except us. There's also 144 there. They are servants. They are not us. We are very great people before God. We are the wife of Christ. So even the angels cannot be us. God is wanting us to recognize that. God is wanting us to come to that position, to know who you are. Praise be to God. So much so that you and Christ are so close that you even know what Christ is thinking. And you take that thought, and it's your thought, and you can speak it. But that's where God wants us to be. And God is wanting us to be in this world so much so that we become that. Praise be to God. So the second coming. So the second coming was to take us there, in Him. That was the purpose of the second coming. But now, all of that was just to come to this. Who is this angel of Revelation 10? Who is the angel of Revelation 10? Alright. Oh, okay. Good. Who is this angel of Revelation 10? Now, the first thing I wanted to go to is before we come to the quotes. Maybe we can come to the quotes or we may not come to the quotes. If we come to the quotes, that's okay. But I wanted us to first of all, familiarize ourselves with Revelation 10. Who is this angel of Revelation 10? And I said, Revelation 10 has two angels. Revelation 10 has two angels. Now, who is this angel of Revelation 10, verse 1 to 7? Let's read it. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. Let's read it. Just slowly like that. If I just read the scripture, maybe next time we can read the quotes and. But everything, and if you doubt a bit, I'm happy that when I preached at the camp or in the Easter meetings, that brother asked a question. Why? In fact, this is the question. Can I say it? Let me say it. I know you understand it. I know you understand what I mean. A brother stood up and said, no, Brother Holmes have never brought it like that. So it might not be true. That's what that brother said. And the other brother told him, I've never heard it like that, but I don't know. Why don't you ask Brother Stanley? Now, kind of. And now the brother went and researched, and he got some quotes, and he said to that brother, I see it now. Listen, I'm a nobody, but if you search, those things, don't follow nobody. You can follow your pastor, that's okay, but I'm telling you, if he has said it, don't wait for your pastor to say it to believe it. Right. Don't do it for nobody to say it, to believe it. Right. Believe it. Take it. It's yours.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's why I say God can use anybody. Right. God can use a sister. In fact, there's a scripture, and sister was cooking there. I remember that because she made me study. I didn't sleep that time. I went there. I went back there. I studied that whole night, and I really understood very much from a sister's statement. And she was just cooking, Sister Rhonda. She was just cooking there. And she said something. I said, okay, what? And that, God can use anybody.
Right.
You can just be seated there with a sister. You're fellowshipping. A sister says something. Or a sister sings. Or a sister stands there and sings. And that's it. God can use it. You are all tools in the hands of God. And He can use you.
Amen.
The only thing we need to do is to stay in that line. Where can God use us? We are in the hands of God. We are always, let your mind and everything be with God permanently.
Amen.
Surrender all and yourself to God, that God can use you anytime, at night, day, what? He can give you a dream.
Amen.
And God is God. You cannot bottle a God. You cannot bottle God and tell God, no, you cannot use it. No, God is going to do whatever He wants to do.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Praise be to God. So let's come here. Let's come here. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. This is John. Another thing I want the people to get is, when you hear, I saw who is saying, I saw, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. Who is saying that? I saw an angel. Who is that? People don't realize, is this a little that? And I saw another angel, isn't it? And I saw. Who is this? That is John. Okay, now, when John is seeing this, where is he at? Remember, physically, he is in the Isle of Patmos. Is it called Isle?
Yeah.
Isle of Patmos. Mm-hmm. That is where he is, and they're punishing him there. That is, I think, in Asia Minor somewhere. In Asia somewhere. That's where they're punishing him. And he's put somewhere where there's no nothing. There's only bad animals, I think, lizards and snakes. And that's where he was. And he was being punished. Now he's there. Why I say these things is I've realized that we talk. We think that everybody is knowing what you're talking about. And sometimes we skip some things, some details that can be helpful to somebody. And I'm not saying anybody is lower or higher or anything like that. But those details sometimes is very important. Now, because when you hear John talk about this, it seems like he's talking today. No, John, yeah, he's talking today, but I'll give you that picture. John is in Isle of Patmos 2,000 years ago. Can you get that? 2,000 years ago, physically speaking. But the Bible says John, 2,000 years ago, was brought to now. The prophet says, or the Bible said, he was taken to the day of the Lord. I hope you know that. He was taken to the day of the Lord. The prophet asks, what is the day of the Lord? He says, the day of the Lord is when the days of men are over. When are days of men over? Which were the days of men? The days of the men were such ages. Paul's day is a man. Irenaeus' day is a man. Martin Day is a man. Corinth Day. All those days were days of men. And to Brother Branham, even the day of Brother Branham was a day of men. Then when the days of men are over, now we come to where? The day of the Lord. Where actually he's the messenger to the bride. In judgment. In judgment because all the whole world is judged. In that day when he comes, all the other people are judged except the bride. But he's revealing himself to the bride. That is the day of the Lord. In that revelation, when Jesus Christ is revealing to the bride, when all things are revealed now, when it's here, that is when John came. And was still trying. That's everything you see. So he was brought here now. To make things like I want to stop people a bit, I simply say he was brought to Brother Branham in America. I don't have a quote like that, but he was brought to Brother Branham. Brother Branham was in America. Mm-hmm. You know, the greatest revelations were not got from South Africa, from India. No, the great revelation was told, he was told go west. He went to tuition. And every time a great revelation like Mary Jane Rose comes, he was told, go east. Is it east? East, yeah, east. Go to Jefferson, your church that God had given him. That's where those celebrations were coming. So John came to him, wherever he was. But he was in America. So he came to Brother Branham. At some point, he wanted to bow before him. In Revelation 19 and Revelation 22. He wanted to kneel before him. He said, no, you cannot do that. You cannot do that. I'm a man like you. I'm born of a woman. I'm born of Era Branham and Branham. So you cannot bow before me. Praise be to God. So it is John who is saying, I saw, John saw, a mighty angel come down from heaven. Clothed with a cloud. What is a cloud? Remember, the prophet is saying in the book called, and I should have, maybe this I should have taken a statement. And maybe some quotes there. But some of the quotes are so many. I can just put one there. Maybe I can do that sometimes. I feel like I would have done that when I was studying there. I feel like I would do that. Every statement of the Bible, and then put some quotes there of the prophet. The prophet says there, the cloud, he says the cloud in the book called, is this the time SARS? Is this time SARS? He says the cloud is the same cloud. You remember the pillar of fire? You remember the pillar of fire? That the children of Israel were guided by the pillar of fire during the night, and during the day, a cloud. He says, it's the same cloud. And he says, the cloud and the pillar of fire is the same thing. But during the day, it's seen as a cloud. You see that? So he was clothed in a cloud. In other words, he was the pillar of fire. Remember, he came down here on earth, and when he finished his work, he said, I came from the pillar of fire, and I go from to the pillar of fire. What is the pillar of fire? The pillar of fire is the anointing, is the Holy Ghost. Remember, God is truth, and Holy Ghost. Amen. The fullness of God is truth, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. He went back there. All right. Now, so he was with a clown. And a rainbow. What is a rainbow? Yeah. What is a rainbow? A rainbow, this is a rainbow. So people can understand. I'm reading it so that you can understand. When you see about Revelation 10, some people don't understand what we are talking about. Revelation 10, this is the Revelation 10 that we are reading. I don't know whether I'll finish it. It's so much. I don't know. It's so much, but maybe I can skip a bit. I'll just skip some of them. But rainbow, whenever you see a rainbow came the first time God brought it during Noah's time. It was a sign of a covenant. I'm giving you a covenant, Noah. I'm giving you a covenant. I'll never again finish the world with water. Praise with God. And you know, people who refuse the word, they don't know. They don't know. And they stay. And they do things showing that they don't know. Do you know Nimrod and Cush? They built the Tower of Babel. Do you know why they were building the Tower of Babel? And making it and putting some, you know, what do you put in pavement here? Mortar or something? Or they put mortar something so that the water cannot come in. Why? They wanted to build something to go to God.
Yeah.
To go to God without repenting. Yeah. And they had realized God finishes people with water. Yeah. So we are going to build something that we're going to go to God without repenting. Yeah. And when he comes to finish us with water, we will not be there where the water is. We will be up there. That was the mentality. Because of what? They don't know that they have a covenant here. God will never again do like what he'll do something else. He'll do something different. See that? This is the importance of the message of the hour, brothers. This is the importance of the message of the hour. Do you remember Jesus telling the children, the disciples one time? And I don't know whether I'm going to preach this, but that's good. So let me talk. Do you remember Jesus telling them that whoever, if you forget your coat that day, and I pray it will not be during winter. You see that? And I pray that if you forget your coat, don't go there. Don't go back to Jerusalem. Climb up to the mountains of, I think, Bethlehem, or I don't know where it was. Climb up the mountains. Don't go back. Don't go back. Even if you forget your, don't go back there. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That was the message of the hour advising them. They refused the message of the hour. What happened? They all went back to where God was telling them, don't go back there.
Yeah.
Where did they go back to? Jerusalem was besieged. Is it called besieged?
Yeah.
Was besieged by Titus. Yeah. And Titus surrounded the city. And when he did, they, the people of Jerusalem, the Jews, knew that they had a covenant with God. Wherever they are, if they get in trouble, get back to Jerusalem, and whenever you pray, whatever you pray, God will hear you. That was the message of that age. Can you get that? Another thing, wherever you are, if you cannot go back to Jerusalem, find out the direction of Jerusalem. And if it is here, call upon the name of the Lord, and God will hear, and he will save you. Do you remember that? That was the message of the hour of that time. That will not work now. And Jesus was telling them, this is now the message of the hour. That won't work. But they didn't hear. The non-believers of the message of the hour, what did they do? They went back. But the message of the hour, guys, the disciples went away from the village, from the city. And Peter surrounded it, and all they come. He let them come. He didn't fight them. He let them all come.
They all come and they were besieged. Nobody can get out, nobody can get in. And he didn't fight them. They died there because of hunger. And the history says, the only people that were saved were man-eaters. You know, when you eat communion, you eat the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you drink his blood. Those who are doing that, those who are the disciples who are doing that, the history says it's only them who got saved. All of them, all the people of Israel, they died there. Yeah. Why? They didn't heed the message of the hour. Praise be to God. Now, so we are talking about the covenant. Now, the rainbow. So rainbow means covenant. In other words, why is it here? A rainbow was over his head. What was it? Listen, it was another covenant. Amen. This has finished. It's now over his head. It's done. It's finished. What was it? We had two covenants. This you hear, this is what you hear, Sister Diana. This is what you hear that is called the Old Testament. It's a covenant. Yes. Do you understand that? It's a covenant. The New Testament is another covenant. This is that's a covenant, it's a covenant. In other words, he has come to say, the first covenant, he was on the cross and he declared, it's over, it's done. Mm-hmm. It's done, it's over. It's over. All that was promised for this covenant is done. Mm-hmm. Now he comes again here with another covenant. He says, the second covenant, which is the second testament. Can you get that? The second testament. He says, I'm gone now. He says, he's gone. That rainbow means it's done. Now we are again starting another covenant. This covenant is a covenant between the bride and the bridegroom, period. The other part of the covenant is that all this, we have a covenant with them. They have a plague. A plague is to take them, to bind them, and to wait for their burning. All the churches, all denominations are waiting for burning. But I have a covenant here. That's one covenant, because it's a covenant of judgment. That is what is called God revealing himself in judgment. But I have the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ here. We have a covenant with them. I promise them they will be me and I will be him. The promise is this time. John said that I will be you and you will be me. The promise is it is this time. It is this time for this covenant. It's done. The New Testament is done. The New Testament is finished. Amen. The whole Bible is finished. Amen. Praise to God. After that, now we have another covenant. The bride and the bridegroom. Okay, that's the rainbow. I'm dealing with just one word so wrong, I'm sorry. But, okay. And his face as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. You go back to Revelation 1, and you're going to find out what that is. It is in the time of judgment. He's a lion. He has feet of fire. And face a sun like that. He says, the prophet says, just go back and just like Revelation 1. You see him there. Yeah. All right. And he had in his hand a little book open. Which is this book? Yeah. In Revelation 5. We don't have time. But you go to Revelation 5. There was a declaration. Who can open this book? Who can even touch it? Who can even look at it? And the book was sealed in 7 seals. Is right? Yeah. Now here it's open. It's the same book. But now here it's open. The 7 seals has already opened. Brother Brenner opened them. The Lamb opened them in heaven. And when he did, he brought the revelation to Brother Branham. And Brother Branham opened it to his people. That is what the prophet says in the book called Bridge. I hope you get that. So now, this book is open. He's holding it like that. Okay. What is this book? It's him. Remember, this book is him. Why is it open? He's telling you, Jesus is open now. The tree of life that was shielded there that nobody can eat it. Now it's here. You can eat it now. It's open. You can eat it now. Amen. I hope you get. You can eat it now. You can eat that tree of life that the people, the Adam and Eve were eating until when they stopped to eat it and they ate the wrong tree. Remember that? When they ate the wrong tree, they died. And God came and shut out. Do you remember Revelation Genesis 4? Genesis 3. Genesis 3:24, where they were taken away from the Garden of Eden. Do you remember that? Who was that tree of life? Jesus Christ, brothers. It was Jesus Christ. And they were surrounded. That Jesus Christ was surrounded with cherubims. Who are the cherubims? Ox is a cherubim. That is all those ox. But now, at the end here, it's open. This whole book is now open. Who is this? It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is open now. The bride can eat him. Nobody else. The bride can eat him. The rest of the people is not revealed. The Bible said, the prophet said, that seventh seal, which is him coming, is not open to the public. So this book is not open to the public. This Jesus is not open to the public. The public will never know. All the denominations will never know this. They can read. Don't refuse them to read. Give them books to read. They will read. And unless God reveals it to them, and he can only reveal to one group, that is the bread of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. That's too much. Okay. So this book is now open. This book is now open. Okay. Which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is now open. You can eat him. You can eat him. The cherubims have opened. Now the cherubims that were surrounding it and refusing you to come, now he's telling you, come, eat. Come, eat. When the first year was opened, come, eat. Except Jesus. Do we have two Jesuses? Jesus the tree of life and Jesus the book? No. It is one and the same Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He was sealed there. Now he is open.
Amen.
All right. And he had in his hand little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea. That one I don't know. I have my idea. But I don't know what to say it. But you see, one foot on the sea and one foot on the, you know, I don't have a quote, but I have my idea. I don't preach my ideas. So, and until I see a quote, I don't know what that is. Stepping on the sea and stepping on the land. All right. Foot on earth. And cried with a loud voice as when a lion, remember this is now a lion. The lion is roaring. What is it? What is a lion? It's in judgment time.
Yeah.
This is time of judgment. Before judgment, he was a lamb.
Yeah.
Now he's a lion. Why was he a lamb? He was in interceding. He was saying, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. And trying to bring you to understand this is it. Until people refused it. And they formed churches and denominations. And God did away with them. All right. Now he took a bride that actually accepted this. Now a lion. And he had cried with seven thunders uttered their voices. What are seven thunders? Seven thunders, listen here. I know I'm preaching to some people who know very well, very much, and some people maybe who don't know as much. So just take yourself like that, and we're just talking about this word. Just accept the way it's coming. Maybe sometimes hard, sometimes. And if it's so hard, just let me know, and we can talk about this. So you remember, this is the best way I know how to explain the thunders. When Moses was leading the children of Israel, that's the way I know how to explain the thunders. He was taking the children of Israel to Israel, and they came to a place where they demanded, "You Moses, you go to God and you come back and tell us what God is saying. Why don't you also go and hear for ourselves? Let's go." And they were told, clean yourself. Let no man be with the woman. Clean yourself completely. You know, that was a physical covenant something. So they were even washing their with the water when they are going before God. So wash up, wash your body, and come to the mountain. And they climbed the mountain. In the first place, it was given to the goats and cows and whatever, hens and what have you. And then from here, the people, to come to the next level. The next level was Moses. Remember that? And God was saying, thou shalt not steal. God now was talking to Moses and the people. And the people would not hear what God was saying. They were hearing that. That's what they were hearing. Thou shalt not kill. They didn't hear nothing, but Moses was hearing, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not. He was hearing the words. Those are the ladders. Listen, these ladders are ladders to the people of the world. Can you get that? They are ladders. They are ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. You tell him Jesus Christ has come. He doesn't. Where is he? He's a ladder. Praise be God. I'm in Christ.
Where?
And I'm seeing you here. It's a lie. They don't understand. Yeah. Can you get that? Mm-hmm. You're in the rapture. And why are you so poor? Why are you so broke that you're even borrowing in Kenya? They say, why are you even borrowing 50 shillings to get a public transfer? Why are you in the rapture? You see that? They don't understand that. This is not their language. This is not their language. They don't hear nothing. I understand how I'm in the rapture. I understand it. I understand how I'm in. I understand it. I understand how I'm married. I understand it. I understand that he's here, he's come. I understand it. But they don't. That's a thunder. That's what a thunder is. A thunder is the voice of God to a particular people. A thunder is the voice of God to a particular people. That's exactly right. It's the voice of God. Simply, it's the voice of God. All right. Where'd you go? That is our voices when a royal roareth. When he cried, seven thunders out of their voices. Why seven? That's another question. Why seven? We want to understand this so that when the prophet says, this is Christ, and it's only Christ it can be, now we understand what he's talking about. You understand what I'm saying? Let's study. Let's look at it. Now, he says here, seven thunder. Why seven? God has numbers. Three is perfection. What is seven? Completion. Seven churches, he's completed with the churches. Let me say that. He's completed with the earth, with the people of the earth. He's done. Praise be to God. Seven is a number of completion. Three is number of perfection. Seven voices is a complete voice of God. God, the fullness, what is it? The fullness of God is speaking. The fullness of God is here. That does is the fullness. Can you get that, brothers? That does is the fullness of God, as opposed to the peace of God that we had in the church ages. We had a peace of God during post time. That's why Paul was saying, I see darkly like in a glass. It was just a peace of God. Do you understand that? In every age, it was a peace of God. A peace of God. Here is that does. The fullness of God is here to take the bride. I hope you understand that. Okay. And when the seven others uttered their voices, I was just about to write. Why was John refused to write? Praise to God. Remember, it's 2,000 years ago. Is that right? It's 2,000 years ago. He saw that. He was brought here and he saw him come. Now, if he could have written that, people would have said, what is this? All these 2,000 years, people would have really been confused on that. But anyway, that's my reason. That's one of my thinking. I don't know why that. But he was so, don't write. Time is not yet. Time is coming. But for now, don't write. He was told, don't write. Seal that up. It's sealed. Now, I want to talk about something here. Because I'm here now. And let me talk about it. Are you bored? Am I boring you? No. All right. I don't like boring people. In Kenya, I around I allowed people to ask questions, and I didn't preach my thing. You remember, boss, what happened? There was a brother there who wanted. I'm not getting it, brother. You can go and leave it like that. I'm not getting it, brother. And I had to explain it. But everybody, later on, everybody said that they need an underwrote of things. By the way, they ask it questions. So that's okay sometimes. And some people are saying, no, this is out of order. I said, no, I'm in control. Don't worry. I got this. And we went on very well. And people. So again, if you feel like I'm over here and I've left you, no problem in raising up. Can you go back a bit? There's nothing wrong with that. So that we really understand what we're talking about. Now, I wanted to talk about this. You know, the prophet, when he comes to this, he says that the thunders are hidden in the Bible. Remember that? They are hidden in the Bible. Yeah, so they are hidden in the Bible. They are hidden in the Bible. They are actually hidden in the Bible. But I'm going to also like to say something. Because he said that when somebody was trapping him with another scripture. There's a scripture that says you cannot. They were trapping him. There's a scripture that says like this, that you cannot add or subtract from the book. Now, that's true. So you cannot take it out or add.
That's true. So the prophet could not add or do something. But the Bible says that this book, remember, this book was sealed within and without. Have you ever, can you, no, you know it. There's no need of going back to the Matthew. Yeah, there's something at the end. This is not part of the Bible. It's the unwritten one. This is not written. The Tantas is not written. There's nobody to write it. Remember, Jesus said, nobody knows about it. It's about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Tantas is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the prophet says, there's nobody who knows it except God. It's in God. But again, it goes very well with the Bible. It doesn't crash with the Bible. He's in the Bible. If you, it's not in the Bible like you can read it like that. No. But it's hidden there. When you talk about it, you can refer it to the Bible. That's what it means. I hope you get. I hope you get. But it says it is written within and without. There is not something. When you go on with this, I'll tell you this. When the seals are revealed, that is when the Zadas come. Because that is when Revelation 10 comes. Revelation 10 is his coming. The Zadas is his coming. It's his voice when he comes. How is he coming? He's coming as the word. The fullness of the word. The seven Zadas. Yeah. The fullness of the word. The fullness of him is here. Right. I hope you get that. Okay. All right. All right. That's it. And the angel which I saw stood upon the sea and upon the earth. That's what I got to saying unto me, seal up those things. He's been refused to write. See, upon the earth and lifted his hand upon the earth. He lifted his hand to heaven. And swear by him that liveth forever and ever. And he goes on like that, and the sea, and the things which are in therein, that there should be time no more. I think I read that on Sunday. And what is it? It's a declaration. It's a declaration of the closure of the church ages. It's done. Time shall be no more. It's not by watch. It's not the calendar. It's not the calendar that is over. No. It is time shall be no more. The time that God was dealing with the church ages is over. Uh-huh. Now, there's a quote that says, we know the church age is over, our religion is over. There are two, three quotes that says the church age is over. But there's also a quote. Listen very carefully, because this is also, maybe somebody is listening in. There's also a quote that says, Brother Branham, did you see that the church ages are over? I think it's 1964. Did you see the church ages are over? And he said, no, there was a confusion. If that is what you heard me say, there's maybe something wrong. I didn't say it. I didn't say that the church ages are over. Church ages are not over. It's not something that you say maybe he could have meant. No, he says church ages are not over. Can I get that? Yeah, that's what he says. And it's got to fit somewhere. That has got to fit somewhere also in the script. You don't throw it away. Everything. I told you, when I go to the mission field, the sisters and brothers, sometimes I'm cornered. And I just sat there. But I believe, and I've told God, all the quotes that you spoke are mine. Amen. That's why I don't fear. I don't even fear even looking for, do you want a quote? And you want a quote to fight me with. To fight what I believe, to fight me with. I said, just tell me, because you don't have a computer. I have a computer. I'll just get it for you. And I gave it to him. Yeah. And sometimes I also don't, when I see it, I say, okay, I give it to me. I don't know what's going to say after that. But always, if you don't know, say, that one, I don't know. I remember saying that one time. Last time I was in Kenya, I said that time and I said, God, this is strong. This is strong for me. And I was in my house. And the brother was very, very right. And all of a sudden, something happened. I said, okay, go to that. And I'm trying. And it just came there. I said, and that quietened us both. It's not me, it's not him. It's God who has brought it. We did it. It is there, it's there. Praise. This thing is of God, bro. Let me tell you this. This is of God. This is God himself. You can say, I know, I don't know. You cannot say that. But I know everything. No, you don't. It's God. And God is going to start with it. It's his. All right, now. No. What was I saying? Oh, about that. Listen. About the church just being over. Listen. If you look at what Laodicea, what was Laodicea? Laodicea was the town of Laodicea, which was showing, that town was showing an age, how that age will be. The age of Laodicea will be exactly like that town. Do you know that? Yeah. Ephesus, the way Ephesus was, the world was like that at a certain period of time, like that city. Now, Laodicea is like exactly the way it was from 1909 up, and it doesn't end. That's what the prophet says. It just goes on. He doesn't put an end like he puts an end to Wesley's age or Luther's age. This one, he doesn't. It's just 1909, and he says it just left like that. That's exactly what he says. Barukia. You look at Laodicea. Is it Laodicean? Laodicean. Look at Laodicean. That city. That is the first place in those days that most of the towns were using butter trade. You know, butter trade? Like you go with a cow and they give you maize or corn or beans, like that. That's what they were doing. And they give that's what they were doing those days. But the town of Laodicea was special because they were using a golden coin. That's what the prophet tells us. They were using in history. They were using a golden coin. They were using money. Money. They had money. They had a currency. See that? Look at Laodicea and now. It has not ended. Every country uses a currency. That's Laodicea. It will not end. It will go on until this whole world is gone. Now listen. In that town of Laodicea, there was no any other town like that. A town that had, it was called the human rights, and mostly women rights. Laodicea is here with us. It's not headed. Laodicea, as it was there, it is here. It's continued. Laodicea, the condition of Laodicea is here, and it continues. When the prophet says, we have Laodicea here, yes, we have Laodicea. We have the Laodicean church is here. But the church is as for God dealing with his people, it's over.
Amen.
God dealing with the people, like saving them, telling them the message of Laodicea, this is the message to save the people, is gone.
Right.
God has finished with the church ages of saving. You know, what was the purpose of the church ages? The seven church ages was to save people. Remember, a revelation came from heaven. Remember that, Rebecca? A revelation came from heaven. A seal was opened in heaven. It came down here, and a messenger got it. Now, when he got it, he gave it as a trumpet, a gospel trumpet. He took it to the people. Do you understand that? All the people who got that and grabbed it, and it became theirs, they were saved by that. Anybody else who did not get it, or he did not receive it, they were finished. Do you see that? So now God has stopped now revealing it from heaven as he opened from heaven. That is finished. The one that was giving those seals, opening those seals and bringing it down here, he came himself now to the bride. Do you get? Now the church ages continues. Everything continues as it was. And that's why they think they are still good, they're still worshiping. This is the time of Pentecost. That's why the Pentecost church is so much. Even the Catholic church want to become Pentecost. They're praying in tongues. Catholic church and Anglican church and Baptist, they are spiritual now because it's a time for Pentecost. And it continues like that. Do you see that?
Yeah.
It's continuous. But they are continuing without God. God has let them go and come here and took a bride.
Yeah.
So the churches are over, but they continue. The things of the world continue. The things of the Laodicea continues.
Amen.
I hope you get the difference. Amen. It's got to go somewhere. Every quote belongs somewhere.
Right.
Okay, exactly that. Right. All right, well, let's come here now. Let's come here. And when he's 7, that is okay. What time is it? Okay. Can you give me just a few minutes now? Just a few minutes and I'll finish this. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll go very fast now. Okay, and so by him, that we have gone. There will be time no longer. Churches are over. There's a quote that says like this. To show you what I'm talking about. It's a quote. I'm not put it here. I can search it if you want it. But I know you agree with me. In the book called The Feast of the Trumpets, the prophecy is like this. If I come with the message of Pentecost, because Pentecost was the seven churches' message, if I come with the message of Pentecost, I would be in the Laodicean church age. And I would be wrong. Doing that, I'll be wrong. Because all the churches are over. Now we are not in the seventh church age. It's done, it's finished. We are over here now with Christ.
Yeah.
So if I do that, I'll be wrong. And then the other one is in the book called Invisible Union. He said, the one that fell on the day of Pentecost won't work now.
Right.
You see that? So it's finished. It's finished. Now we're here. So like that. But anyway, I'm sorry. So it's over. This is a declaration. He swear, it's over. It's done. I'm turning around now. I'm taking my bride. I've got her now. I've got what I wanted. I'm a lion now. I'm a judge. These people are all judged and they're going to the lake of fire. But I'm not going to take them to the lake of fire now. No. They will wait until the general resurrection. Praise be to God. So they will resurrect because they all die in the bombs when the world is being purged for the millennium. They all die also. But now they will rise up in the general resurrection and they'll be taken to the lake of fire. All right. Now let us finish now here. But in the days of the voice, this is where. No, we have finished with an angel there, is that right? There's an angel there. A mighty angel come down with a rainbow over his head. Do you see that angel? That's the angel that we're asking. Who is this angel? Who is the angel of Revelation 10? Who is the angel of Revelation 10? In the course of this, I'm going to read you a quote that says, Revelation 10 is the seventh seal. The prophecy is like, just like that. The Revelation 10 is the seventh seal. So seventh seal, what the seventh seal is in Revelation 10 is one of the same thing. And you're going to see it is exactly the same way with Matthew 24, verse 36. The question that he asked him, when does he come? Who? Jesus Christ, the second coming. The prophet is going to say, is his coming that they were asking him about? Okay, but now we are not there. For today, we are going to go slowly. I'm going to read the quotes after this. But now, that's one angel. See, Brother Joe, that's one angel with a rainbow by his head. The prophet says, that is Christ. It can be. I'll read that quote one time. I don't have time now. It's here. It's here with me, but I don't have time now. But he says, it can only be Christ. It can only be Christ. Now people are saying, no, it's not Christ. It's not Jesus Christ, it's Christ. I don't know what that is. but anyway, I respect that. I respect that also. Because they're saying it's anointing and they have quotes. That's okay. But I want to prove now, maybe they're listening in, I want to prove now in this service, not now, not today, in this that is Jesus Christ. According to the promise. If the process is the seventh church, is the seventh seal, and that is his coming, and what coming was that? That was to be with the Jews. I'm going to read some quotes here that I'm going to say, and the Jews, and he's coming for the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
What was his coming that was they were to accept him as the atonement? It was the second coming.
Right.
Praise be to God. I'm going to read that also, maybe sometimes in the course of my reading. But now, that is something that we can read. Okay. And went to the angel and said unto him, okay. That's one angel. Now we're finishing with that angel. There's another angel here that I'm finishing now. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, that is the seventh angel. Not the mighty angel now. The prophet said, this angel must be on earth when the seventh angel, when that mighty angel is dropping down. This seventh angel must be here on earth.
Yeah.
He doesn't say here. You mark that. He says that he must be here. No, he says two types in the third seal, and I think in the breach. He says he must be on earth, yeah, not dead.
That's right.
I've gone to his. What do you call that? Where he's dead? Where he's buried? I've gone there. His grave. I've gone to his grave. He's dead. And there's a very big, there, very big stone written there. And there are people coming there almost all the time, putting some flowers there. You know, I met something from Argentina. We met somebody from Argentina who had flowers there and they put there. Of course, we had our pictures with Gabriel there in that tomb. Yeah, he's dead. The prophet is gone. Physically speaking, he's gone. Yeah. Yeah. So, but the promise was he's got to be on earth. Not dead, on earth. Yeah. Praise be to God. So this might age you, but in the days of the voice of the seventh age, this seventh age is Brother Branham. The seventh. The first was Paul. The second was Irenaeus. The third was Martin. The fourth was Koruba. The fifth was Luther. The sixth was Wesley. The seventh was Brother Branham. That was actually, if anybody doubts, those who are listening in, if anybody doubts, God showed it with the supernatural. He drew it. The way the prophet drew it here, God drew it with a pillar of fire. Yeah. And the next thing is the sun and the moon had an eclipse of the moon. And he drew it exactly the way he had drawn it. It drew it on heaven. That's an indication. That is show it was God who was doing that. So we know when he says this is the first angel, we know that he got it from God. It was vindicated. God showed it by supernatural that it was God who was doing that. Okay, now. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when I talk like that, sometimes I'm talking to the people on the listening in. not you. So that people can get. What we say here, it's truth. We say the truth. Amen. We say the truth. We say what he said. Yeah. Praise be to God. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when it shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. The mystery of God should be finished. Which mystery? The mystery of God should be finished. Now, that mystery. That is why I said, Revelation 10, 1 to 6, that is about Jesus Christ and his coming. That's what I said. But I said this, according to the prophet, this Revelation 7 must come first. This is Revelation 7, 10, 7. It happens first. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when it shall begin to sound, the mysteries of God shall be revealed as his. What does he say? Sometimes I don't say it right. As he had declared it to his servants, the prophets. You see, what are these prophets? The prophet says, the prophets who wrote the Bible. So, is the written mystery. This Bible that is sealed with seven seals is now open. The Bible is now open. Can you get that? The mystery in the Bible, the written mystery is revealed. Is revealed by six seals. I have two quotes that says that the seals are opened by the six seals. After the six seal opens it, now it's open. Now it's open. It's time for Revelation 6:1 to be here. Who is Revelation 6:1? It's Christ himself. It's Christ himself. He comes down. He's brought by seventh seal, and Christ coming down, seventh seal, and Revelation 10:1-6 is the same thing. Is Jesus Christ coming down here? It's the same thing. Seventh seal brings him down. That's what the prophecy is. Seventh seal is his coming, and Revelation 10 is his coming. It's just the same thing. Which coming? The second coming. Yeah. But this is seventh angel. The seventh angel, he takes the Bible and opens it. When he opens it, now the mighty angel comes. If you want a quote, I'm going to give it to you. All right. Which angels who wrote the Bible? Now, that's another verse. Okay, which angels wrote the Bible? Which prophets wrote the Bible? The two Bibles are written by two people, according to the prophet. And all, did you hear that the Jews hear their prophets? Mm-hmm. I think the prophet said that. And even the Bible, he said the Jews hear their prophets. They cannot hear nobody else. So, if the Bible is taken to them, that's why I say, actually, Elijah Moses is the Bible. When it is taken to them, they will see Moses and they will see Paul, their prophets. Because the prophet says, who wrote the Bible? Who wrote the Old Testament? He says, Moses. I know it's Jeremiah and that, but the prophet says it's Moses. It's the one who took the opening of faith and opened. Everybody else actually went by him. He talks about the role of Moses, right?
We come to Paul. Paul is the one who wrote the New Testament. That's what he says. And he had to go to the wilderness to write it. So it's written by the two people, the Moses and Paul. So when Moses and Paul are taken to Jews, those are their prophets. They will agree. They will see it. They see it. Can you get that? And the two prophets are taken to the Jews. All right. And that is Moses and Elijah. And the person who brought Moses, the person who brought Moses and Paul and opens it is the seventh angel. And the seventh angel is Brother Branham. Yeah. You know that. I think you know trumpets. Brother Joe, trumpets is, the last trumpet is the seventh trumpet. And seventh trumpet is sounded by Brother Branham. And each angel sounds a trumpet. Each angel sounds a trumpet. So don't be worried about trumpets, you know, trumpets. No, it's simple. You know, don't complicate this thing. If you complicate it, Rebecca, we're going to just go blast our heads. Because nobody... The prophet said that the people in the denominations, they scratch their heads to understand Godhead until they become like the Northerners. They cannot... It's not complicated. Just take it simple. Just go simple. God in simplicity. God is very simple. Right. The first trumpet was Paul. Paul sounded it. What is it? It was gospel trumpet. Amen. When the seal is opened, he takes it, he sounds the trumpet. So what is the seventh trumpet? The seventh trumpet was sounded by the seventh angel. Amen. And we only have seven trumpets. So when you hear that the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, is the seventh trumpet, they're telling you is Brother Branham. It's not Brother Branham like a man, is the message of Brother Branham, which was Pentecost, that is the two. What was the message of Brother Branham? Opening of the Bible, Revelation 10:7. In the days, the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall sound, the whole Bible will be open. It's like when it's open now, it's taken to them. I hope you get that. So they saw that. So now, that's another verse. That's why I've divided this whole book in three. I've said it's Revelation 10, 6, Revelation 10, 7, Revelation 10, 6, 1 to 6, and then Revelation 8 to 11. What is Revelation 10 to 11? Let's just read one verse and then we close. Just one verse of that and we close. And okay. And a voice which I heard from heaven speak unto me again and said, go and take the little book. He came with a little book. He came with himself open. Go take him and eat him. Mm-hmm. Go take him and eat him. Who was John? Right. Who was John? The prophet says, John was a type of the bride. Yeah. John was a type of the bride. That's what he says. And not more than once. But in the book of, it's called the Revelation Part 1, Revelation Part 2, those books. He says, John was a type of the bride. When John was told, come up thither, and I will reveal to you, he was talking to the bride. The prophet said, that was the bride that was being called, come here, I cannot reveal it down there. So the bride is caught up in the air. In the air is heaven, places is caught up, and that is where the bread is being revealed to. Okay, but now here he's told, the bread is told, eat this book. Eat this. Go get that. What is this book? It's Jesus Christ. The wholeness of Jesus Christ opened. The wholeness of Jesus Christ is opened. At the Garden of Eden, Adam stopped eating that, and what happened when he stopped eating that? He died. And he was taken out of the Garden of Eden. Now here, that bed is taken away. Now come and eat him. He's here open. What is the book? The book is Jesus Christ. When he's open, he's open. He had an open book. Go take it and eat it. Praise be to God. It's the wholeness of Jesus Christ. Eat him. And when you eat him, I'm not going to read no more. You just read there. It's just there. Praise be to God. It's there. And he went and took it. In other words, the bride went here and took the book. Here. Praise be to God. You know, you are what you eat. That's right. And when you eat the wholeness of Christ, you become the wholeness of Christ. Amen. You become the wholeness of Him. Amen. You and Him become one. You are there. You are just that. Amen. I hope it's clear. I hope it's clear. That's the Revelation 10. That's the whole of Revelation 10. I've divided it into three types. The first, Brother Branham. The second, coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the sixth, seventh seal. The third is when he has come and the bride eats him. I, you, be one. Me and you be one. There will be two of us. That day, this is this day, when you've eaten him. When you eat the whole tree in the Garden of Eden, that they were eating, and whenever they were eating, they had the eternal life. When they bit on the tree of knowledge and evil, that's when they died. There's no eating that now. It's not there. It's no more. This bride do not bib on that. What am I saying it right? Bib. Tasting it. Yeah. This bride cannot. This bride is held by the second Adam. Tight. She cannot do nothing but his will. Amen. He's in him. He's in heavenly places. She is in heavenly places. She's not here on earth. She doesn't have nothing to do with the world. Praise be to God. This body is here on earth. That's okay. We believe that. This body is here on earth. It's here on earth, and we are not raised. The prophet said, you've never even seen me, Sister Edith. You've never seen me. Amen. The real me is here and cannot do nothing but what he wants. Amen. I'm him, he's me. Praise be to God. Amen. Can we stand up? Amen. Brother Michael, would you come and dismiss us? I know I'm taking a bit of time. I don't know about that. That's okay. Brother Michael, come and dismiss us. God bless you, brother. God bless you.
Bless you. Amen. I know you enjoyed that.
Amen.
I'm so glad that we know in this day that, like the brother was saying, that Laodicea is continuing on. It's a natural thing, but the bride has been raptured out of it. Right. And that God has come and his bride are now one. Amen. And we're not part of this world. This world, you know, that's what Satan tries to do to us. He tries to distract us and he tries to pull us into this natural realm and try to get us caught up. Mm-hmm. But it's like the brother just said, it's like she can't do nothing but his will. Amen. That's all she can do. Amen. And Satan may come in and try to something, just pulls her right back. I say something, it's God. It pulls it right back to it. She can't stay out there. It's like that magnet that Brother Bram talked about. It come across the floor and mm-hmm. everything that was attracted to it left. Everything that wasn't bolted down left. And so let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we counted the privilege tonight, Lord, as you spoke to us, Lord, and Lord, you brought to our remembrance and reassured us, Lord, that we're your bride, Lord. We're not this natural flesh. We're not this natural reality, this cursed earth, Lord. We're not in that condition anymore, Lord. We've been raptured up, Lord. And as the brother is saying, a lot of people look for a body change as this body is going to change in this Adam. But, Lord, we know this flesh is going to back to the earth, and it's going to be cleansed, and it's going to be burnt over, and whatever you desire to pull out of it to create those glorified bodies, Lord, then that'll be in your mind and of your work, and Lord. And Lord, when we're looking for that time, Lord, that we can just step out into that glorified body, Lord, and get rid of this flesh, Lord, and live eternally, Lord. And Lord, and I say that, Lord, with the understanding, Lord, we know that we are an eternal being, Lord. That, Lord, we're not in this day recognizing and then becoming eternal, Lord. We were eternal thoughts in your mind before there was even a world to be in a fallen condition, before there was even flesh to be sinful, Lord. We were eternal thoughts in your mind, Lord, and we thank you for that tonight, Lord. So we go from this place, be with those that are not feeling well. Lord, the little wife, you just touch her body, give her healing. Lord, and those that may be struggling in the flesh that we may not know about, but Lord, we know that you know all things, Lord. And as Brother Don and Sister Rhonda and Brother Benjamin travel up in a few days back home, Lord, we just ask that you be with them. Ask that you be with the family there and his mom, Lord, in the situation. You know all things, Lord, and your mercy abounds. We thank you for revelation, Lord, above all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.